We'll move on to our second case, Gensler versus Strabula. Let's see. Ms. Manning.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. This case presents an issue that has not been previously decided by this Court or any other Court of Appeal. The issue presented by the case before you today is whether the Lanham Act's prohibition on false advertising and its separate prohibition on false statements about origin cover claims that are related solely to the provision of professional services.
Who's Gensler?
Arthur M. Gensler, Jr. and Associates is one of the largest architectural firms
in the world. I asked who Gensler is, not what the company is. Who's Gensler? It's a person's name.
Yes, sir. Art Gensler is the founder of the company.
Pardon?
Art Gensler was the founder of the company.
Does he design all its architectural projects?
Mr. Gensler, the firm was founded some time ago. No, Mr. Gensler himself is not personally active within the company. And to be clear, our discussion in the brief about and the allegations that Gensler has designed is the designer of all of the works for which it is retained and does, in fact, do the work. Those allegations are not a reference to Mr. Gensler, his son David Gensler, who is with the company now. Those are to Gensler, the company. The question about professional services comes up in the Lanham Act, alongside the question about goods. We know the Act...
Now, Strabula, now, would you describe him as a prominent architect or an obscure architect?
I'm not sure that I am the best person to opine.
Why not?
Well,
you must know a lot about him from the litigation.
Well, the litigation has never proceeded beyond the pleading
phase. I know, but you must know a lot about him from this litigation.
Sure. I mean, Mr. Strabula has absolutely been involved in a number of projects over time. He's been an architect for, I think, 20-something years. He certainly, you know, is active in the field.
Famous?
I don't know that I would call him famous, but again, I'm not sure that...
Is he world famous?
I'm not sure that I'm...
Is he one of the most prominent architects in the world?
I wouldn't so describe him. Certainly...
You would not so describe him?
No, sir. I don't have any basis to describe him in that way. I'm sure
you don't disagree. You just don't know.
I don't think there's any basis for that. I mean, certainly...
And wasn't he the director of design for Gensler?
He had a title of director of design.
What do you mean he had the title director of design? Do you mean he wasn't the director of design, but they just gave him a title so he'd feel good, or what?
Well, I think the thing to understand about the title director of design is that there are a number of people within Gensler who have the title director of design. Every project... that Gensler does has someone who is a director of design for that particular project. You know, so I think that Mr. Strabula in the briefing invites the court to assume, well, I think he invites the court to assume that, don't worry, I really did design this stuff.
You mean he was just an ad hoc director of design? He would be named director of design for a particular project?
There are, if you will, ad hoc directors of design. There are also... persons that have a title director of design. It's my understanding Mr. Strabula did, in fact, have that
title. So he had, it wasn't just ad hoc. He had a corporate title director of design.
Yes, sir. He is one
and
of the
And how many directors of design does Gensler have? How many people with his title?
That's not anywhere in the record. I'm sorry, Your Honor. I don't have the
information. Well, you don't know?
I do not know, Your Honor.
1, 20, 30?
As I said, there's a director of design for every single project. Whether there is anyone else within the company who also has the title director of design on their business card,
How many projects was Strabula director of design for relative to the other people?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, I don't have that information because this comes before the court on a motion to dismiss. The only record that we have.
You should know a lot about the company if you're representing it.
Well, I think I do know a fair amount.
Well, you don't seem to know their corporate structure, where they have one director of design or a zillion directors of design.
Well, again, because this
What if Stribula was the director of design in all the major projects of Gensler?
That is not my understanding, Your Honor.
But you said you didn't know. Now you say it's not your understanding. I don't understand.
My understanding is that Mr. Stribula worked on a limited number of projects during his tenure at Gensler before he was dismissed. I think he was there for about 4 years. And he worked on, you know, several projects, including having at least some involvement in the five projects that are discussed in the pleadings.
Some, you say, but he was director of design for those projects, wasn't he?
Well, if I may go beyond what's in the complaint itself, I think the evidence that we expect to be able to find on the hoped-for remand to proceed on the merits, we think that the evidence is going to show that his involvement in those particular projects varied greatly.
You mean when you're designated director of design, it doesn't mean you're really the director of design?
Well,
you could have a minor role and other people could have a bigger role? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think if I'm understanding you correctly, there seems to be this assumption that director of design means you are the guy who designs everything, and that is not how Gensler, and I submit probably not any other major architectural firm works.
No, let's talk about just a specific project like this Shanghai thing.
Yes, sir.
What does the director of design do for that? Is he just one of many designers, or what does director of design connote on a particular project?
There are hundreds of people who have been involved in the Shanghai Tower project.
But he's the director of design.
He is.
Now, what does that signify about his role in that project?
He certainly was involved.
That he's one of hundreds, or that he's the boss?
He's not the boss. He is not the project director.
He
is not the project director, sir.
Is he the lead designer?
He may have been for Shanghai Tower at certain points in the project, but overall, no, I don't believe that he was broadly writ that years and years long project. It was certainly underway before he came along and continued after he departed from the firm.
The problem I have with your claim here, I guess there's two claims, is that...
Yes, ma'am.
Stribula, is that how it's pronounced?
Stribula, I believe.
Stribula? He's not falsely representing the origin of his services. He's, you know, obviously offering his architectural services to the public as his own services. So there isn't any false origin claim here. There may be a false representation of his degree of experience, but that, you know, may or may not be actionable under the Lanham Act as false advertising. But the false origin claim here just doesn't lie, not for reasons necessarily relating to the Daystar decision, but because his website and the other materials that are at issue here don't contain any false representation of the origin of his services. He's saying, here's my services, I'm offering them to anybody who wants to retain me, and here's my experience. Now, the representations about his experience may, again, or may not be actionable, but that's a separate question. This just isn't a false origin claim, setting aside this whole debate between the parties about whether Daystar applies to services as well as goods. I think that's just a red herring debate here.
Well, I certainly agree that the two claims are to be analyzed separately. And focusing on Your Honor's question about the false designation of origin claim, I don't think that the statute requires, or this court's test requires, that the false statement be about the services that are being offered here and now. I today am offering you my services.
Sure it does. That's what's being regulated by the statute. You can't go out and offer goods or services that aren't yours.
That's
right?
Clearly true.
You can't falsely attribute somebody else's work as yours, reverse.
I think that's right. Of course, you can't go out and say, here's somebody else's work and it's my work. But I think that you can... you can state a claim for falsely designating the origin of services that have been provided in the past.
Why?
Because I don't think there's anything in the statute that bars that, respectfully. I don't see any language of the statute that...
What language makes it cover that kind of a scenario?
Well, if any person who...
False designation of services offered to somebody else in the past?
Right. Any person
how
who... Any person who, in connection with goods or services, makes any false designation of origin, and I'm obviously alluding here,
Of those services. Not of something that they did in the past.
Well, or is the origin sponsorship or approval of his or her goods or services or activities by another person. I think that that, I don't think that there is a requirement in there. And if you're thinking of specific language, point me to it, and I'm happy to talk about it. But I don't see in there anything that says it is about the service being offered here today, as opposed to services that have been offered. I mean, the suggestion is that I, Strabala, have performed these services. The contention
and the
complaint.
What do you regard as the most false advertising that he engages in?
The most false advertising, sir?
The most false statement that he makes.
Well, we have several examples in the complaint of false statements.
What you regard as the most false.
He says in a number of contexts, I designed a certain building. It can be the Shanghai Tower. It could be the Tesla Corporation headquarters. It could be...
Are those buildings that he was director of design for?
Well, as I said, his business card says director of design. So if that's the question, his business card at all times says director of design.
Are those buildings that he says he designed buildings on which he was the director of design for Gensler?
I believe that, in addition to being on his business card, I believe that he may have been at least one of the people who had those titles on every project. Again, because we're only focused on the complaint here, I don't have that.
There are multiple directors of design on the same project?
Sure. There can be.
But I thought he had a corporate appointment as director of design. Director of design for Gensler.
He is a director of design. I think the implication that...
But you don't know whether there are multiple directors of design for Gensler or one director of design.
Well, as I said, there's a director of design for every project.
But there's also a corporate director of design, you said. Someone on the masthead or whatever you... Someone on the corporate...
He is someone who had that title, yes, sir.
Pardon?
He is someone who had that title, yes, sir.
And you don't know whether anyone else had that title. As far as you know, he was designated the director of design for Gensler. And if that's true, it's hard to see how his representations were false.
Well, I think the representations are false because what we're looking at here are claims to have been the designer, and I think that Dastar informs the analysis.
What if he'd said he was the chief designer for these buildings? Would that be okay?
If it's true. Mr. Strabler can say anything about his experience
if it's
true.
What reason have you to think that he was not the chief designer, say, of this Shanghai building?
Because it's my understanding that there were very large numbers of people who were involved in
this. Yes, of course. But if he says chief designer... Maybe there are, obviously, in a building of this size, you have multiple people working on designs. He doesn't design every window and every door lock and everything like that. So multiple, and the elevator and all that stuff. So anyone interested in hiring Strabula to build some enormous building is going to know that there are multiple designers on any big building. Suppose, however, he is the director of design for that building, as well as for the corporation, and he is the chief designer, and the other 99 report to him.
Yes, sir.
Then would it be false for him to say that he was the chief designer of the building?
As I understand your hypothetical...
Yes or no, would that be false? I gave you an example... Is it false if that example is true?
No, because in your example, he has the title chief designer. So if
no.
Well, perhaps I misunderstood. That was my understanding.
You did misunderstand. He's director of design for the corporation, mm-hmm. and now you have a project, a building, and he's the director of design. Only there are 99 other designers. He supervises them because he's the director of design. Mm-hmm. Now, suppose he represents, he says to prospective customers, I was the chief designer of that building. Now, is that false?
Not necessarily. I think, frankly, that is a factual question for the jury.
It's true. He's the chief designer in my hypothetical. And so he can tell people, yeah, I was the chief designer. Now, look, he's only dealing with ultra-sophisticated potential customers. He's not designing bungalows for people.
No, sir.
He's designing billion-dollar buildings.
Yes, sir.
They're not going to just say, oh, you were the chief designer. Great, you must be fine. They're going to ask him, you know, what were your responsibilities? How many people helped you? How many people are going to help you on this project? How's there going to be actual... How could they're dealing with customers of this sort? I mean, literally, people pay billions of dollars for these ridiculous buildings going up 150 stories. Where's the room for deception representing himself to be the designer of these previous buildings?
I think, respectfully, if we were here in a summary judgment posture rather than a motion dismiss posture, and we had something to go on besides just the allegations of the complaint, which have to be taken as true, that we might have more to go on.
But you have an Iqbal problem because your complaint is extremely implausible, right?
Well,
This fellow is actually a world famous architect. But suppose he's some nobody, and he shows up and he says, "I'd like to design your building." And they say, "What's your previous experience?" And he says, "Well, actually, I haven't designed before, but I'm interested in design. I've got talent, right?" But if you start asking Strabula, how do you pronounce it, what his experience is, he's going to recite all these buildings and all the people he supervised, mm-hmm. and who's going to be fooled? Who's going to be fooled?
Well, but I think that appropriation of Gensler's goodwill for these projects of all variety is exactly the problem. By
What's
going
the
out there,
appropriation? If you've worked for someone, you're not allowed to say you were a responsible employee of this person, and you did this, and you did that, the other thing?
Sure, you can do that, but I don't think that's what he's doing. You know, we've given the publicly available examples that, you know, he was kind enough to post on the... I shouldn't be sarcastic, I'm sorry. That he posted on the Internet. You know, we believe that he is out there doing a whole lot of other things, and that's what discovery is for in these cases. I think he's out there saying, I designed it, they didn't, they're terrible, hire me, not them. I think that is what's going on. And I think that...
What, you're accusing of product disparagement? Libel? What's coming?
I certainly think that there's...
You think he's defaming Gensler?
I would think that there's probably going to be evidence of that. Yes, sir. You know,
you haven't charged defamation, have you?
Well, no, sir. And frankly, that is what, you know, what discovery is for, is to get the evidence of the non-public activity.
Bringing another suit?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, sir.
You're discovering in this suit so you can change from... from the Lanham Act to defamation?
Well, I think that the Lanham Act claims will stand, and I think that if the question is about what he is doing and why this appropriation of Gensler's goodwill and how that's working, I think that would be part of the evidence that we presented to the jury. But certainly the false advertising claim, which I think stands, doesn't present the issue that Judge Sykes, you know, referenced, but he's out there making sort of false statements. I understand Your Honor is somewhat skeptical about whether that is likely to deceive, and of course that's an element of the complaint. But given that we are here on a motion to dismiss posture, where we're focused on the complaint, I do respectfully submit that the complaint survives that.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Mayor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And Mr. Rosenwein. Long way.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Tom Rosenwein on behalf of the defendant, J. Marshall Strabula. Your Honor, we're dealing with a particular complaint, as I think you just indicated, that does make specific allegations about Mr. Strabula not being able to say that he designed certain buildings. There are no allegations in the complaint before you that deal with issues of disparagement, defamation, or even appropriation. So that's a whole other lawsuit. As you know, in Judge Guzman's order, he gave Gensler the opportunity to file an amended complaint. He gave them 15 days to do so. They chose not to. They chose to stand on their complaint. And so that's the complaint that we have before us today. And that complaint is a complaint which seeks to claim authorship in Gensler of these particular designs.
I'm confused by that. There's a difference between design and copyrighted architectural plans, blueprints. Is there anything, do we know anything about whether these blueprints are copyrighted, and if so, who owns the copyright?
We don't, Your Honor. That's we don't know that. I assume, as my understanding of the way things work in China, particularly with regard to the Shanghai Tower, that it would be the Chinese owner who would have that copyright. But that is not in the record. There is a real, and this goes to the question of Dastar, there is a real involvement with copyright law here because there is, as you've indicated, under the copyright law and under the amendments of 1990, one can get a copyright in not only the plans, the model, but also in the building itself. And so copyright is very much at issue, I think, in this matter. What has been pled in the complaint by Gensler, in fact, relates to that. In paragraph 50 of the complaint, they say, defendant's continued portrayal of himself as the designer of certain architectural works designed by Gensler is continuing and will continuing, constituting a problem, and so forth. So they've actually referenced Mr. Strabola as being falsely saying that he is designer of certain architectural works.
But I'm sure, well, I shouldn't say I'm sure. I doubt that Strabola actually makes blueprints, right? He's too high up. He has a conception, 200 stories tapering to a point, that sort of thing. And then the lesser people draw, you know, blueprints for every little detail, right? So isn't he, you know, conceptual, managerial, inspirational, rather than actual a draftsman?
No, Your Honor. He actually did draw the initial sketch for the Shanghai Tower. He made drawings for that. He actually, and that's what happens whenever you hire an architect. I mean, you expect to get a concrete something at the end of the day. You get a sketch, you get a design, you get a
model.
But
the sketch isn't what you get at the end of the day. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, there's a building,
right,
and the building built according to very elaborate blueprints.
That is true. That is true, Your Honor. What I'm saying at the end of the day, one could stop the process. One could get the sketch and say, no, that's completely wrong. I don't like that. I'm going to get a different architect. But you do get a thing at the end, and that's why I think this whole notion that there is architectural design services are somehow different from
goods. But
the
plaintiff isn't complaining, is it, that Strabola is copying buildings that Gensler designed?
No. Plaintiff has not asserted that at all.
Right.
That's not an issue. Not trying to sell Gensler buildings as his own buildings or anything like that. So it's a very unusual kind of case.
So why is copyright involved? I don't understand.
Oh, well, copyright is involved because under Dastar, what the Supreme Court was trying to do, I believe, was to try and get some accommodation amongst the various statutes relating to intellectual property, and to not have the Lanham Act become a vehicle for some kind of mutant copyright or perpetual copyright or something like that.
Right, but that may be overthinking this case. Why isn't the false origin claim flawed for the more fundamental reason that I pointed out, which is that the complaint here is not that Strabola is falsely representing the origin of his services that he's offering to the public, he's allegedly falsely representing his degree of experience with these famous buildings.
Right.
I mean, so nobody's going to be confused or make a mistake that the services he's offering to the public are not his. I mean, that's not the kind of claim we have here. It's not a false origin claim in that fundamental sense, which, as I understand the statute, is what is actionable.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Your Honor. I mean, I think that is in fact the case here. I don't know. We may have overthought it in terms of relating to Dastar and so forth, but those were issues that were raised, and certainly the court below talked about authorship and the issue of authorship and the importance of Dastar in the analysis, and so we have addressed that in the briefs here and also below. But I think you certainly are correct that there is no false representation here with regard to what he's offering. He is offering his own services. He is not offering plans that are somebody else's and claiming that they're his.
Right. So is there anything wrong with that understanding of the statute?
I don't think there is, Judge. I don't think there is.
Then we avoid having to do any reconciliation of trademark and copyright and the Lanham Act claim and copyright here.
That would be a way of avoiding that. I agree. Yeah.
But then that brings us to the second question about why this is not actionable as a false advertising claim, to the extent that it's understood as a claim that he's exaggerating his experience.
Ah. Well, this really does get us to the question of authorship, because that is an allegation that he is claiming that he authored things, that he did things when he really didn't. And that is something that is not actionable under 43A1B of the statute, which is that false advertising component.
Why not?
Well, there are several reasons, and this does get us back to Dastar, because in Dastar, the court did hold that under 43A1A, authorship is not something that one can bring under that statute.
Right, because that's a false origin claim.
Yes.
Which
right.
brings in that embedded question about overlap with copyright.
Yes.
And undoing the limitations on copyright. With a false advertising claim, that's just not in play.
Well, I think it is, Your Honor, because otherwise you create a huge backdoor opening to basically vitiate the entire holding in Dastar, because you allow somebody to make the same claim but you say it's false advertising rather than a statement of origin, and that authorship is somehow a characteristic nature or quality of the statement, of the good, services, or commercial activity. And so in Dastar, and Justice Scalia referred to this in a sense, and certainly other courts have, you could certainly...
I don't understand. There's no...
Yeah.
How could Gensler ever bring a copyright action?
I don't think they can, Judge.
Pardon?
I don't think they can. They haven't alleged that. They haven't alleged that.
Yes, but I thought your notion was that this suit belongs in under copyright. It's either a copyright violation or there's nothing, because this is a copyright allegation that they're making.
No, my point is that the only claim they could bring would be one under copyright.
How could it if it doesn't have the copyrights?
Well, that's right.
Which I'm sure it doesn't have,
right?
Right,
so,
as you said.
Yeah, so they cannot bring a copyright claim, and they have not.
Well, but then you have Judge Seitz's question. If there is some kind of false representation here, and it's not a copyright claim because they don't have copyrights, why can't they bring it under the Lanham Act?
Because
what
a claim
would be the problem, right?
Because a claim of false authorship.
I know, but it's not a copyright claim.
No, it's not a copyright claim.
So what if it's false authorship? It's one thing to say, look, if you have a copyright claim, you can't bring it under the Lanham Act. It's another thing to say, that you can sue someone for false representation about authorship. What's that about?
Well, what that is about, Your Honor, I believe, is that...
Suppose someone said that I'm not the author of any books or articles that my name appears on as author. I'm a phony. I'm a plagiarist. I hire people to write these books for me. That's not a copyright. That's not a copyright claim. Are you saying this is a competitor of mine, we'll say, does that? Isn't that false advertising?
No, I don't believe that's false advertising, Judge.
Well, I don't understand. And there's no remedy?
There may be a remedy, but there's no remedy under the Lanham
Act. Why isn't it false advertising? Why don't I say, look, this person writing books and articles in competition with me is saying that I'm not the author of my books and articles, right? Now, why isn't that a false representation about me? What's my remedy? Don't I have any remedy?
Yeah, I think you do have a remedy, Judge. I think your remedy is in something other than Lanham Act.
But what is it? Where?
It could be a fraud. Could be a fraudulent misrepresentation.
Well, isn't that what the Lanham Act is?
No, I don't think it is, Your Honor, in this context. Because
but I don't understand why, in my example, they should be barred by the Lanham Act because of anything to do with Dastar. That is, there's no copyright issue anywhere involved, even though authorship is at the heart of the false advertising claim. That is, if the purpose of Dastar is to make sure that the Lanham Act doesn't become a copyright statute on top of everything else, why is that involved? Why is that a problem every time you have an authorship issue?
Well, the issue, I think, is to create some kind of a mutant form of a cause
like
of action.
I don't like that mutant expression. Let's drop mutant form.
All right. I will drop it from my vocabulary.
In my example, there's nothing like that. Right? In my example, I'm complaining about false representations about my authorship. And it has nothing to do with copyright. No copyright infringement by anybody. It's just a denunciation of me as a plagiarist, a phony, what have you.
Well, I may not be understanding your example, Judge, but it does sound like somebody has put his name on a book that you wrote, and is claiming
no,
to have written it.
No, I've put my name on a book that someone else wrote. That's the argument. That's the accusation, right?
Okay.
Now I own the copyright of my book. There's no question about that. I'm just being, my originality is being question, my honesty is being questioned. That's a standard, as you say, that's a fraud claim, and if it's in advertising context as a competitor of mine, say don't buy Posner's books or articles, buy mine, because he's a phony and so on. That sounds like the Lanham Act.
Well, it sounds to me like someone is selling the book under a different name.
No. Suppose a book chain says about another book chain, their books are terrible, they're plagiarized, they're overpriced, and it's all false. That would be a garden variety Lanham Act claim against that bookseller, even though it involved authorship and, could involve plagiarism and so on. But as long as you're not challenging someone's copyright or infringing someone's copyright, I don't see why copyright law, why Dastar gets involved.
Well, that actually is the exception that Justice Scalia referred to. in DASTAR, that where if the party, if DASTAR had said our videotapes are quite different from the original, that would have been a claim. And I think your example is a comparative one where there is a statement that someone is doing something qualitatively different than what they actually did. So in this case, if Mr. Strabel...
Their argument is Traveler is taking credit for stuff that really isn't his. And I don't see what that has to do with copyright.
Well, it has to do with copyright in this sense, Judge. As you know, that's an issue of moral rights. That's really an issue of attribution, taking credit.
Yeah, and that only applies to visual arts.
That's correct. And it's not contained in the Lanham Act. That's a separate claim under very limited with regard to visual
arts. Right, but the
work.
Existence
right.
of VARA doesn't imply that this case isn't cognizable as a false advertising claim.
Well, what it suggests is that if you're saying that we're the only ones, we Gensler are the only ones who have the right in perpetuity to claim ownership.
Now, the moral rights issue would come in if Strabler altered, you know, some diagram that had been done by Gensler, something of that sort.
Well, it's also an authorship issue. I mean, the creator of that work of visual art is the only person who can say, I am the author of that work. So that's where that comes in. So that's the moral rights issue that VARA deals with.
But if Gensler doesn't have the copyright in these architectural drawings, it can't accuse Strabler of copyright infringement.
That's correct. That's certainly correct. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Rosemont.
Thank you, Your Honor.
So, Miss Manning, your time expired. But if you want to take another minute, that's fine. I interrupted you a lot.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate it. I'll just very, very briefly address the false advertising claim. Your Honors, I think sort of get that there's not an issue of authorship here. We're not making a copyright claim. We wouldn't make a copyright claim even if we owned it, because the wrong here is not that he's copying the designs or copying the buildings themselves. But the thing I want to talk about with respect to false advertising, DASTAR is limited. It is limited to a statutory interpretation of 43A1A, the origin of goods. It doesn't speak at all to the nature, characteristics, or qualities of goods. And although, but even if it did, even if authorship were an issue here, the First Circuit in Xyla, for example, specifically, you know, viewed false authorship claims as cognizable under the false advertising provisions. They didn't happen to go forward in that case because there was no commercial promotion involved. But those kinds of claims would be cognizable. DASTAR is highly limited in its rationale of avoiding conflict with other statutory schemes. I think doesn't apply for the reasons we've discussed in our brief, and its holding is narrow, and I think does not affect the false advertising claim.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Manning and Mr. Rosemont.